From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wolf. Did you hear that sigh of relief? Phew! Alaska fishermen are indeed able to apply for the recently extended Payroll Protection Plan, the PPP. The new deadline is August 8th. But some fishermen are getting caught in a paperwork processing trap because they applied under the original PPP before the rules were adjusted to allow fishermen to claim lost crew pay. And whale problems in southeast Alaska. Two gray whales were stranded but escaped. One humpback whale got entangled in shrimp pot gear, and a family boating near Juneau had a bad collision with a humpback that sent some of the family to the hospital with serious injuries. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
As expected, the president signed into law an extension to the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP. The signing took place on Saturday, July 4th, and the measure extends the application filing period until August 8th. Just recently, a rule change to the PPP was made to allow crew members access to the money. However, the change took place only 3 days prior to the deadline to file. Ephraim Freilich is a representative for the Fishing Communities Coalition. He says the coalition is happy for the extension, but some further changes may need to happen.
There's some fishermen who went through the original PPP process and, you know, after this 1099 fix are possibly going to be unable to access additional PPP funds for their crew, which is what this fix was intended for.
Freilich adds that the coalition is monitoring further proposals to ensure the fishermen who did apply before the rule change will either be able to file a second time or amend their original application.
A lot of it's uncharted territory, right? We're doing a lot of new innovative things to make sure our economy survives this pandemic. And, you know, we are thankful to the federal government and to our representatives, state government, for doing all of these things. But we also need to be flexible, adapt to what we are finding to be problems along the way, and fix those problems.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Now let's shift to southeast Alaska, where there have been a number of whale incidents. Federal wildlife officials are asking the public to be on the lookout for an entangled humpback whale reported near Sitka. They say the best way to help a whale caught up in lines or debris is to call in its location and to keep a safe distance. KCAW's Erin McKinstry has more.
Whales can get entangled in all kinds of stuff, from anchor lines to fishing gear to shrimp pots, which is what happened with the latest case near Sitka. NOAA Fisheries received a report on June 29th of an entangled humpback just south of Sitka Sound near Tava Island. That's about 8 miles from where the owner of the shrimp pots set the lines the previous Saturday morning. Whale entanglements are infrequent in Alaska. NOAA Fisheries reported just 10 sightings statewide in 2018. But most of those occurred in southeast. And when the giant creatures do get entangled, the results can be deadly. That's according to Alaska's Large Whale Entanglement Response Coordinator, Sadie Wright.
We know that any type of entanglement is a big energy expenditure for whales, so wasted energy dragging all the stuff around. But in worst-case situations, entanglements can lead to the death of the animal.
But the public's responsibility stops at communication, Wright says. Intervention can be dangerous for the whale and for humans. Props can get stuck in lines, and the public doesn't always know the best course of action, like the Good Samaritans that cut buoys off the lines attached to this whale. Buoys actually helped the team's trained responders find large whales and figure out how to free them.
Thank goodness that these Good Samaritans didn't get hurt. While well-intentioned, freeing a 40-ton animal is extremely dangerous for the animal and the would-be rescuer.
The team has specialized equipment that allows them to maintain distance and free the whale if necessary. But Wright says they're hopeful that this guy will free himself.
Based on the speed that this animal is traveling, we think it's a strong and very mobile animal. And we know that most entanglements of large whales conclude with the animal freeing itself. So we're hopeful that this animal is able to do that.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Mary McKinstry.
Gray whale strandings are on the rise on the West Coast and here in Alaska. Biologists don't fully understand what causes the huge animals to become caught upriver or on a beach, which makes the collection of tissue samples and other data from the dead whales critically important. Near Sitka recently, three campers had an unprecedented opportunity to aid the cause of science when they discovered a stranded gray whale and her calf. But the animals, who are both quite alive, were no help at all. Robert Woolsey has more.
Harry Edwards, Michelle Putz, and Leah Mason are sheltering on my front porch from a light summer rain. They're just back from a long June weekend on Kruzoff Island, Sitka's wild and remote next-door neighbor to the west. Kruzoff is famous for its black sand beaches, open to the Pacific swells and surf. The three were staying at the North Beach cabin. Edwards woke up early to go beachcombing.
It was a super low tide. I mean, there was this beach that went on forever. And I looked over at that rock wall in the south end, and I saw something blow, and I thought, maybe that's just a splashing of a wave. There's not enough water for anything to be there. And then I looked again, and then I saw a pectoral fin flip over, and I ran back to the cabin and said, hey, Michelle and Leah, there's a whale that's stranded, and there's no way it can get out.
A whale this close to a beach, not to mention stuck on it, is not uncommon. Not for gray whales, anyway. They're benthic feeders who dredge the ocean bottom for food.
It's not unusual to see gray whales in the area foraging or swimming near shore.
Mandy Keough is the Alaska Stranding Coordinator for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
So they will actually go down and kind of disturb the sedimentation and use that to get amphipods and other organisms like that. So it's not uncommon to see them near shore in shallow waters.
Keough says this whale was not stranded by definition, but alive, on shore, and unable to return to the water. But try telling that to the whale, or in this case, whales, because there were two, a mother and calf.
These whales were in such a small space that it looked like eels in a bucket.
This is Leah Mason.
Yeah, you could see them roiling in there.
And Michelle Putz.
Yeah, you could see their backs and most of their bodies sticking above water for much of the time. There's a female, we think, and a calf, the calf being three-quarters the size of the female. And the female was trying constantly to get out, find different ways to get out. And so she would be pushing her way out, swimming around, and at times she'd get stuck on one of the sandbars and kind of have to inch her way off of it so that she could get into slightly deeper water.
The tide pool was about 5 feet deep, just enough water to support the whales and prevent them from being crushed by their own weight. But the very low tide appeared to be at its lowest. Edwards and Putz both work for the U.S. Forest Service, where Edwards is a biologist and district ranger. He radioed the Sitka Forest Service dispatcher to report the situation to NOAA. That was really all they could do, or even bear.
We know in our hearts that they have gone through the worst that they're going to, and they're really active, so that's a good sign. And if we sit here and watch, we're going to give ourselves ulcers.
You know, you're looking at a 40 to 50 foot whale, and if it's stranded and in distress, you can easily become injured just by it trying to, you know, reposition itself or move.
Mandy Keough says the best thing anyone can do during a marine mammal stranding is to take pictures and report the event to NOAA. If a pathologist can get to the animal soon after it dies and collect and preserve tissue samples, researchers might be able to unravel why the animal went ashore. Last year in Alaska, 40 gray whales beached and died, and this year we're already ahead of that alarming pace. A couple of hours later, our trio returned to see how the mom and calf were faring, and perhaps to offer some interspecies support.
the larger animal was ceaseless, just circling and having a go at the sandbar and coming back.
We saw her surfing in the waves a few times as she was going along. You'd see her kind of going sideways, and suddenly you'd see a whale, you know, emerge. in the wave, kind of, you could see her shadow through that whole wave sideways. It was quite beautiful and sad.
You'd love to be able to just tell them, just be patient, the tide's coming in.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jan Straley said that we were probably 12 to 15 feet away. We were up on the rocks. And Jan Straley felt very strongly that absolutely they could hear us.
Jan Straley is a whale biologist in Sitka and a member of the Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Network, which kicked into action after Edward's radio call. Plans were already underway to perform a necropsy on these whales, but nature did not cooperate. The Stranding Network would have to settle for an interview after the fact.
The cow made yet another run that we thought wasn't going to get anywhere, and she went through. And as soon as she did, that second whale just instantly shot right out behind her, and we watched him go off into deeper water, and we cheered them on. And it was also at the same time the Coast Guard was flying over, because unbeknownst to us, there was a bunch of things that were put in play with NOAA and the Coast Guard and Jan Straley here in town trying to figure out what's going on with this whole thing.
So science was thwarted and the whales got away. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And finally, NOAA Fisheries Alaska Marine Mammal Stranded Hotline reports that a recreational boat collided with a humpback whale just outside of Auk Bay, north of Juneau, on June 27th. The U.S. Coast Guard relayed information that the family in the vessel immediately returned to shore, and some members were transported to Bartlett Regional Hospital with serious injuries.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMC at amsea.org.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Tyler Thompson at KDLG in Dillingham. Two stories from KCAW in Sitka, thanks to Aaron McKinstry and Robert Woolsey. As always, a big thank you to you, our listeners of the Alaska Fisheries Report, and to all the radio stations that air our program. For you fishermen, remember, be careful. Plus, follow those COVID rules. Wash your hands, wear a mask, and keep social distancing. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.